And we connected with, we personally connected with Peter a little bit after that, sometime after we first visited Toronto in the late 1990s. Peter has been part of the scene there ever since. He teaches at pretty much every school of ministry that happens twice a year in Toronto. And Peter is a real carrier of the revelation of the Father Heart of God. And he travels, he's been traveling all over the world, sharing about the Father Heart of God. And we heard a great story from Peter. Was it that lady with stage four, was that a few weeks ago? So Peter was with John Arnott in Taiwan just a few weeks ago. And John Arnott was taking two sessions a day on physical healing. And Peter was doing a session a day on the Father Heart of God. And a lady was brought into the meeting with stage four cancer. Stage four cancer is serious. I think stage five is death, basically, isn't it? So it's stage four, then it's the end. And she was brought in, and nobody particularly prayed for her. And I've seen a little video clip of her laughing. She was on the floor, and she started to laugh. And she got completely healed. And she's been back to the doctors, and she has no cancer. She has no cancer in her body. Nobody. Thank you, Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? So really, it's been a great privilege for me personally to get to know Peter. He's a good guy. He's funny. But he's not only funny, he does carry a real message as well. So in the middle of the stuff that we're experiencing today, I'd encourage you please to open your hearts to Peter. Decide that you're going to let the Holy Spirit open your spiritual ears and open your spiritual eyes so you can receive anything that the Lord wants to do with you today. Amen. So can we welcome Peter? Peter.
I was thinking of a good friend of mine, my wife's best friend, and the husband is my best friend. And I 4 years ago this coming May, very similar, just sudden death. And I had to preach the next morning, and I found out the news just before I was to go to preach. And interestingly enough, I was going to speak on the comfort of the Father, which is what I'm going to speak on today. God describes himself here in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. In Philippians 2, verse 2, it says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Psalm 103:13-14 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So, you know, there are stages to grief. And one of the first stages is denial. We to deal with the shock, you know, we're like, I can't believe this has happened. And that's actually our emotions taking over, because the first thing our emotions do is block out the pain, block out the shock. And then, you know, if we allow our emotions to surface, it's a gradual reality of what's happened. And oftentimes people just get stuck in denial and they just pretend like it hasn't happened. And they try to overcome their grief by stuffing it all down. And, you know, probably most of us know what happens then. We have these long periods of depression, anger at God. Why did this happen? We feel, you know, we're full of regrets. I think when my wife's best friend died, everybody was thinking, oh, if we could have only told them how much we loved them or how much they meant to us before they went. And you know, it was really a wake-up call to my wife and I. That we go out of our way on a regular basis to tell the people who are dear to us, especially each other, how much we mean to each other. You know, you don't wanna lose someone like Vaughn, you know, that you're just thinking, oh, I wish I would have told her. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have. And of course, you know, the enemy, the devil, he just jumps right on that bandwagon. And he wants you to just focus on what you didn't do, what you didn't say. You know, you couldn't say goodbye. And so all of those things have to come out. And emotionally, we are designed to initially, you know, it's like a shutdown. But there is a process of grieving that's absolutely necessary. But it's interesting to me, even though I know all this, when we heard the news on the way to church this morning, I could feel the grief, another layer of grief just coming up, losing our best friend 4 years ago. And again, very similar. You know, she was a real mother. And when you're around her, you just feel that comfort. You feel that she cares from the heart. And when I came in yesterday and she handed me a bottle of water and just, what can I do for you? You know, she was just wanting to serve me in any way she could to make me feel at home. And, you know, I thanked her and I said, you're just such a wonderful part of this church. You're such a mother. So, you know, the lesson is that we don't take people for granted. We don't take each other for granted. That we don't know, you know, how many days we have left. God knows. You know, he's got it all numbered out. And we don't want to lose someone and then spend years denying that it happened because we regret so much that we didn't share how we really felt about that person. So, and God is, you know, the God of all comfort. And it is a time to really pour out your heart to him and receive his comfort. And comfort one another. You know, just coming up and having a group hug. Do that on a regular basis because this thing gets released in levels. And maybe you don't feel anything right now. And maybe next Sunday you're going to come to church and it's just going to hit you. It's like a dam breaks. And instead of stuffing it down, how British, you know, really let that grief be poured out. He comforts all who mourn. Isaiah 61:4. And that mourning, that grief is not something to feel guilty about or stuff down or deny, but actually let it go. And get to a place where you're experiencing the comfort of the Father. But I think it's It's really important, as I said, to take something very, you know, in her memory. What did she mean to you? She didn't keep her emotions within. She poured it out. She let people know, you know, how special they are. That you're loved. Can I get you a meal? Can I get you water? Can I just give you a hug? And, you know, that is worth more than anything. Someone who is actually free to give away what they've received. And obviously, you know, from almost dying a few years before, she had a wake up call. I'm not going to be here forever. So I want the people who are closest to me, the people who I'm connected with, to experience that love. You know, that it's not just something I take for granted, that they think I love them, but I've never shown them love. You know, this only works when we pour it out on someone else. Love is a response to being loved. In 1 John 4:18 it says, we love because he first loved us. So with the love we've received, it's pouring that out on one another. That everybody, you know, connected to me feels loved. They're loved, they're accepted as they are. They can be themselves. They don't have to, you know, put on a face or act any different around me, because I just love them the way they are. That's how the Father loves us. He loves us just as we are, not as we should be, but just as we are. So we can comfort one another, as it says in this verse in 2 Corinthians 1:3. We can comfort one another with the comfort that we have received. So I'd really encourage you in the days to come, receive his comfort. Comfort one another with the comfort you are receiving. Don't just think, oh, I should give that person a hug and then walk away. But actually, do it. And I'm always amazed when I do that, you know, there's just so much more freedom that comes into my life. But having come from a family that stuffed emotion, and you know, there was just huge grief after my dad passed away, because I, you know, we never were allowed to talk about those things, how we really felt towards one another. So I encourage you to do that. So the first stage of grief is denial. And I think about my wife, who had a very different reaction to her favorite uncle dying. And her favorite uncle was actually more like a father to her than her dad. And he used to call her kiddo. And you know, there was just such a great connection there. And he died suddenly. And when my in-laws told my wife that her uncle had died, she had the opposite reaction of crying. She burst into uncontrollable laughter. And she laughed for days. She couldn't even go to the funeral because she was just laughing. Isn't that weird? And it wasn't until, you know, a month after he died that she started to, you know, let go of the grief behind that. But her initial reaction was laughing. So, we never know. You know, you might think, I'm having a reaction to this. I don't know how to deal with it. It isn't normal. You know, Let it out. Don't analyze it. Just let that grief go. But the denial is, this can't be happening. This can't have happened. And we just kind of go numb. Life makes no sense. And of course, you know, the temptation is to, why God? The why question. And I encourage you not to ask why, but ask how. How do I walk through this time? Receiving the Father's comfort. And really let Him help me release the grief. So that's the first stage, is denial. The second stage is anger. And actually, anger is a necessary stage of the healing process. Be willing to feel your anger. It could be anger at yourself for not, you know, sharing how you felt before she went. It could be anger at God. How many know David got pretty angry with God? And it was like, why is this happening? You know, you said this and the opposite happened. So don't be thinking that God the Father doesn't understand anger. He can take it. He's got big shoulders. So I want to let go of when I'm feeling angry. And then the third stage is the bargaining. You know, and sometimes this happens, you know, before the person dies, we're just, if you let them live, you know, I'll never do that again. If you let them live, I'll do this for the rest of my life. And that's just something to watch out for, because there's no deals with God. You know, he wants to surface all the right or wrong emotions in our life. And then the fourth stage is depression, where we're just missing that person. There's a vacuum. And, you know, we don't want to let that go into darkness, but it is a sadness. And you have loss. So you want to let that go. And then finally, the fifth stage is acceptance. And acceptance is often confused with the notion of being all right or okay with what has happened. Most people don't ever feel okay or right about the loss of a loved one. This stage is about accepting the reality that our loved one is physically gone, and recognizing that this new reality is permanent reality. We will never like this reality or make it okay, but eventually we will receive grace to accept it. And, you know, the big part of that is, like, I remember when I lost my mom and she died, you know, slowly for 2 years with emphysema. It was gruesome. And she was in the hospital for the last 2 years of her life. And it was all I could do to go to visit her, to watch her suffering like that. And for, you know, probably 6 months after she died, I regretted that I hadn't visited her more, that I hadn't taken the time. But at the time, I was overwhelmed with grief before she died. And but the Father gave me a dream, and in this dream I saw my mom emptying her closet in the hospital. But she was just as I could remember her, the healthiest time of her life, when she was in her mid-30s and I was a kid, and she was just the picture of life. And I see her in this dream, and she's emptying her closet, and she turns around to me and says goodbye. And I was glad that she was, you know, she's in a body that has no emphysema, no suffering, no disease. You know, my mom's the picture of health because she knew Jesus as her Savior and stepped into a body that will never have disease, that will last forever. That's going to be quite the body. So trust that He will help you, whether it's through a dream, whether it's through, you know, just the hug from somebody else. He'll help you go through this and come out the other side with that acceptance, with that honor of who she was, and just remembering, I want to be more like her. I want to, just as you were saying, Brian, you know, think about who Voon. Think about who Voon was to you. What the impact of a mother's love has. I want to be expressing that to the people around me. Probably if she could have left anything behind, it would have been that. Love one another deeply. Fervently, the scripture says. From the heart. Don't hold it in. Let it out. And love one another. Okay, so God bless you on that journey into His comfort, His compassion.